look at the desk when they're at the school. So they give the kid a school and go home to school like the other kids. And then we started that, we made all these arrangements to move in. She said that she needed permission to stay in. And, you know, because she had the discipline. And that's one that includes spanking every day. It's like, well, no, no. And after that, he just stayed at school on the playground. Really good at the school playground.
Uh-huh.
By then, he was...
So, it's a
yeah. Yeah, by then, he was... Actually, I was now up at Edison School. It was not supervised. He just went out and played out in the...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And wasn't supervised till 3 o'clock. While I was at Edison, I forget... Let's see, he was in...
He attended the same school?
Yeah, he did. Mm-hmm. And then his regular school was a school where I moved from there. He was attending there because he was doing after-school playground. And the after-school childcare.
Mm-hmm.
And he was at Washington School for the preschool kids. But once they started kindergarten, they moved to Edison School.
Okay.
So that's why he was at Edison, and that's where I was assigned. Then I don't remember when I moved down to, no, then he started down to Lincoln School to his own district. And I just, he switched to Lincoln School, which was our own district, the second year that I taught.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's when it seems to me that's when Bing was going to do all this. I don't remember how that turned out when she was there, but, because when I went down, I took his teacher's place. His teacher was a dancer, and she was going to Europe with a dance troupe. So they had an opening down there, and that's where Thaynoff moved. She moved down in September, and then I was able to go down in February for the second semester.
Oh, so he was actually in your class?
So he was in our district. No, he was in my class, but we took him out.
Oh.
It was a bad scene. Really, we should have left him, but I didn't know then. I thought it would be too hard. I thought I would be too likely to be too hard on him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And,
So basically then, when you would finish your school day, you would just pick him up at the playground?
Well, we were at the same, I didn't pick him up at the playground. I mean, he was there and I was, you know, I didn't have to go in. When, pick him up when? You mean when I worked at Edison?
At Lincoln.
Well,
your school day, you basically were just...
Yeah, well, we were just... then I started doing the playground there. After school playground. I shared that after... In fact, before I started to work there, I did after school playground down there.
Oh.
For extra money.
Oh, I see. And how long would that last?
I think it was from 3 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 2 hours a day, I believe, on Saturday mornings.
Oh, Saturday mornings, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it was almost a continuation of the child care program from the war.
Almost, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, did that continue for a while?
Oh, it's to this day, I think. Is after school, supervised after
mm-hmm.
school program.
Now, what was your social life like during this time? You were then separated and getting divorced.
Mm-hmm. None that I recall.
How about relationships with the other teachers?
I didn't really make friends with anybody. Nothing like that. Teachers are funny, particularly in elementary school. In neither school was there any of that I knew about. They just don't hang around together.
Hmm.
In the high school, the younger teachers tended to go drinking, you know, and
mm-hmm.
that sort of thing. But just a little handful of them, though, really, considering
mm-hmm.
how many there are.
So most of your life really revolved around your family?
My family, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happened in terms of your teaching career then?
I worked there at Lincoln School, and very successfully. And then, somewhere along the line, I got married again. I don't remember what year. Anyway, I got married to Harris Williams. I met him because he was... I met him while my sister had her trailer in my backyard because he was her cleaner. And then he began to think he got my cleaner. And then finally, they started going out together. And so we got married. And
Well, this had been in the early 50s,
then? It must have been. Jethro was 11. And that really just didn't work out. It was a mistake right from the beginning. It just was never a good marriage.
Now, did you move out of your house, or did he?
No, he came in my house.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did your son take to all of this?
At first, you know, before we were married, it was all just Danny, because there's, you know, his brother was football to him. Jeff always had equipment and all the stuff. I saw that. And he would throw the ball, and, you know, he just did it so nice. And even took him places with us, you know, on the weekends. But we were hardly married till he just changed. I guess he's one of the only persons in the world that I truly dislike, and I really dislike him.
Mm.
He was really rotten to death, and made life just miserable, really. But, however, we stayed together 5 years, I think. Seven, maybe. You know, it wasn't all bad. a lot of pressure, a lot of tension.
Mm. And you remain teaching at the same school throughout this?
Yeah. And then when we split up, in whatever year that was, they suggested I take a sabbatical if I could afford it, if I wanted to go back to school anyway. So I did start doing that, and then we got back together again, I remember now, for maybe another year, something like that. But while we were married, we sold my house and bought one up on the hill with my down payment, you know, for my house.
On the hill, in
Burbank, up in the
area.
No, in Burbank. Uh-huh. It was still within Burbank. It was up in the, I forget the name of the area up there. It's above Kenneth Road.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there. My houses were quite nice. We built a boat. We built a couple of boats. So there were good times.
Where would you go boating then?
Down the ocean. Down at Long Beach, mainly. Up above Trancas sometimes, you know, I forget the name of the Cove, Paris Cove or some
Paradise
Cove. Paradise Cove, yeah. But,
was this the same one?
No, outboard engine.
Mm-hmm.
First we built a 13-footer, and then we built the 22-footer cabin cruiser. But that was, funny, I completely forgotten about that for a while. On the whole, it was really a very negative experience.
Mm.
we went up to Jeff was in, Jeff went into junior high, let's see. While we were down there, we still lived on Buena Vista, Jeff went to junior high. Then we went up, when he was in eighth grade, was when we bought the house up on whatever street it was up there, and stayed up there, I think, 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's all, and then we finally split up.
During what point did you go back to school then? Was that before you split up?
No, it was after.
Mm-hmm.
But, however, then, I started back to school, then he said, and by then I'd become a Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
I was always looking for some way out, you know, something that's got to be right. Somewhere, and he was already, Barris was already, had been a Baptist, so then we got to be big, terribly involved with the Baptist Church, and they and he convinced me that what I needed was to be a housewife and to forget all this, and, quit my job. This is what he said. He told everybody that if I just quit my job, and not be so involved with all those damn kids and that sort of thing, then everything would be all right. Our marriage would be perfect. And I just didn't know my place and all that. Bullshit, you just can't imagine. So I thought by then, that I was a Baptist at that time and didn't believe what they said,
mm-hmm.
which was that women are really supposed to, the husband is the head of the house. And if that's what his solution was, it was up to me to do it. So I did try and I quit. teaching. I went in and quit on my sabbatical. And then I found out that it was just a ploy. He was just saying that. He didn't want me to quit at all. He just wanted to say that to absolve himself of any kind of responsibility for the thing. So then when he saw that I'd quit, you know, he was really mad. He didn't know what to do, so he moved out.
And you had taken a sabbatical at that point?
Yeah, well, I'd taken a sabbatical, but then I even quit from the sabbatical. I quit school, and that sort of thing. I'd quit everything to be a housewife. And it was hardly happened, but, you know, but a few months of that, you know, well, I don't know how many months. But the first, my mother died before he moved out. My mother died in May of 56. And then he just moved out. He decided he didn't have it.
Now, did you stay with the church after that?
No, not really. Not from where I am. My respond, and of course, before that, we lived up on the hill. He moved out. We split up when we lived up on the hill. And I was going to get the house. And I came back from work, and he'd taken all the furniture. Not Jeffrey's bedroom furniture, but all the other furniture. And that sort of thing. So I think that probably, let's see, when did even I sold that house and bought another one? Yeah, and then he came back over there, and that's what happened. He came back after I moved into another house. But then, I bought some maple bedroom furniture, triple dresser and all that stuff, and finished it. You know, I was very proud of that job. You know, to do something useful with my time. And when he moved out from there, he took that.
Yeah, and all this time you were at home.
I was tutoring. I got I registered with the district as a tutor, mm-hmm. and I had kids and a tutor. But really, it didn't bring in very much money. But he decided that that's what we were going to use for food, so I better get enough students to. He was really, really, I mean, incredibly nasty man. I mean, he shot sitting ducks, you know, that, you know, really cruel kinds of things that they were just too hard to take. You know, I just simply couldn't move it. It dragged on for quite a long time, getting that ended. I always have trouble with endings. Mm. So.
And at what point did you start to go back to school?
Oh, well, not then. Oh, you mean to teach school? Oh, well, of course, he didn't realize that, as long as he'd known me, he didn't realize that this was September. I remember it was September when he moved out, because he didn't realize, or the end of August anyway, he didn't realize that you couldn't walk in September and get a job. You know, he thought I could just walk in September and get a job. No, you know, obviously they had all the teachers they needed. So I went out to Lockheed, and they hired me as in the tool design files. And so I worked there from September to January.
What year did that
happen? 56, 57.
Mm. How did you feel about that job compared to the teachers?
Oh, well, I didn't like it at all, but I had to do something to earn a living. I sold the house, the second house, too. And but I was saving that money for, you know, I wanted to buy another house. I didn't want to just be stuck with nothing. So I had to earn a living, and that's what it occurred to me to do, to go there, since I'd already worked there before.
Mm. You weren't able to get back into planning.
No. Too many things have changed. See, we were just going into the stretch press when I was there. You know, I mean, it was just something new. There were all new methods and that sort of thing. That was gone 9 or 10 years. And so I worked there, and then I heard about, a friend of mine called me and told me that about substituting in L.A., in the L.A. Valley schools. And I went and inquired about it, and of course, and I was hired, you know, at once to do that. And
and it was
still
elementary.
Mm-hmm. And You see, I worked there. I was substituting for, I don't know, a month or two. And then at Sun Valley Elementary School, the teacher, the principal, who was new to being a principal, she was just new that semester, somebody had gone on sabbatical, saw me doing a reading circle with some third grade kids. And so she asked if I would come there and take, she had gotten permission to have another teacher, you know, but she was looking around for another teacher, and she asked if I would do it, work there full time.
Mm-hmm.
And an A1, B2 class. And I hardly ever talked to kids that age, never mind trying to teach, because I couldn't do it. But she said, oh, yes, you can. I saw you at a reading circle. To her, that was all it took. They were very careless. So I did. And then I thought, well, my God, they used to, you know, substitutes make so much less money. I might as well try to get hired as on a regular status. So I did take, I took their day of exam at Elliott. And so I took the exam and passed it and was hired as a regular teacher. As a matter of fact, they made it retroactive to when I started. So mm-hmm. That was nice. And
did you have thoughts about moving out of elementary teaching?
Yes. No, by then I was really eager to do that, to try to get experience at another level. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I told the woman that I would be going back to Burbank in the fall if they'd hire me, because that's, you know, that's where I had my experience and that's where I wanted to be. So she was not going to be there anyway after that semester. She had another assignment. And so I changed them back to Burbank in the fall. They hired me. I went over and, Easter vacation is when you always go and get your jobs at a teaching public school. So I went in April, I guess, March or April, and got hired in September back and at junior high.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I wanted.
You didn't take any additional classwork or anything?
Well, I'd taken lots of extra classes from, you know, from the time I graduated. I took a lot of classes from UCLA. However, I did not. The answer is no, I didn't need it anymore. My credential went through, the elementary credential covers through 8th or 9th grade.
Mm-hmm.
I forget which.
What happened in terms of your ties to the Baptist Church and things
just
that you've made through there?
Well, actually, very, very quickly, I got, I just dropped out of that.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I didn't keep going. I think I went for a while, and went for a that summer that I wasn't working, I taught Data Vacation Bible School, and you know, they were really very nice, worthwhile people. But I really just stopped. It was very couples oriented, the group we were in, and I felt very quickly very odd, and so I strained my credibility after a while. You know, really, it's just so foreign to what I. It's steel in my bones. It just can't be right. Not right for me, anyway.
Was your plan to stay in junior high school?
Well, for a while, and I thought maybe senior high later. I really wanted experience at a whole level.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed there, actually, for like 10 or 12 years. About 12 years in Luther Burbank Junior High. And I was teaching math, which I wanted to do. And one year I taught something they call social living, which is English and English and history, spelling, all those things. It was a two-hour class. The kids had a bunch of kids. It was a core class sort of thing. But I just did that. Well, I think one semester, it might be maybe a whole year, or maybe just one semester. Then I taught mainly math, and then I got to be grade level chairman, and they had always had just any teacher that they could con into it, and that was talking to the kids individually. You got an extra period a day to do that, to talk to the kids, and it was concentrated mainly on the kids who were failing on the failure list. And I thought more could be done for the kids than just a failure list.
And I suggested that they find people who are really interested in doing this, like me, and take a class in seventh grade and stay with them so you get some chance of knowing something about them, you know. And they agreed. The vice principals and the principal were, you know, content to do that. They agreed to that.
Yeah, so. You would stay with them, 7th, 8th, 9th, you mean?
Yeah.
But in all subjects, or just a particular subject?
No, this is counseling, not teaching. So it wasn't any particular subject. It was dealing with them as in a counseling situation.
And on a one-to-one basis?
Yeah, one-to-one. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Groups were not, I even heard of really in those days. They were not at least in Burbank.
Now, were you taking some sort of special training for any of this counseling work thing?
I had done a lot. I'd taken a lot of psych. I'd been a psych major, or actually interdepartmental major, psych and stuff, and English. So that's what. See, I'd had a what's what the hell? I had an education major and a French and psych minor when I left, and then when I went back, I had to change. There was no more education major, and I had to switch to English, geography, sociology, and psychology were, it was a field of concentration. Really. That's so.
Now this was just one period a day, though. The
at first it was, yeah, mm-hmm. And then it worked into. I got more and more periods a day, yeah, in order to be able to, you know, to see more of the kids, because you know we had a lot of kids in grade, and then it ended up that I had. Both 8th and 9th grade all the time, and one guy had the 7th grade because they were different. They were still had the course social living, and the other kids had separate classes.
Mm-hmm.
So they no longer had the core teacher was supposed to be like a mini counseling kind of a situation for the kids. But now the 7th graders had that with their social living teacher, but the 8th and 9th graders did not. So I filled that function, and we were actually devising it. I started them. I went to a counseling convention. Our principal got a notice of it and said, "Hey, maybe you'd be interested in this." So I went to one, and I thought, you know, it was just wonderful. I didn't know about such things. And we just didn't know anything about counseling in Burbank in those days. So it seemed really fantastic that teachers were women or men were hired, just to counsel kids.
Mm-hmm.
So then I got started on a counseling credential, and finally got my pupil personnel services credential.
Yeah, when was that?
While I worked at Luther, so that was sometime after 57.
Mm-hmm. Now, was Jeff still living at home at that point, or was he?
Yeah, he was.
Mm-hmm. How was it raising him as a teenager then?
It was rough, very rough. He was rebellious, and he had a couple of bad experiences with fathers, and so it was really hard dealing with him. He was just rebellious, in curious ways though. He always came home. At 10 o'clock every night, he was supposed to be home at 10 and get ready and go to bed, and he did that. And, he never, he's a big kid. He was always a big kid. So he could have really been threatening had he wanted to, but he did not do that. But he liked to cut school a lot. Mm. That's something. Yeah. So that was hard going.
Yeah, were you living alone at that point? When you were in,
let me think.
After your final separation?
Yeah, with Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Woodland Avenue. Then we moved to I sold Woodland Avenue. And was on a land contract, and we had 6 months or some such thing to pay to finish paying the down payment. And so I was held up all that time living in an apartment because I didn't have the money to buy another house. But then I bought a house over close to Luther Burbank, But that, I remember now, I bought the house, and then I got the job at Luther Burbank. I just was in the process of buying the house when I got back to Burbank and found out where I was going to be. So that was, Jeff was going, let's see, by then, where was he going? Oh, I know, Lewis High School, by then, I think.
Now, what were your expectations for him in terms of college and career?
I had hoped that he would go to college, but he wouldn't. He refused.
Mm-hmm.
He said he just hated school and he wasn't allowed to go.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, he didn't finish his high school. He joined the Marines and got a GED equivalency.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel about his joining the
Marines? It was just really hard for me to see how I was going to get along, you know. In a way, it was a relief that they were being charged with him and not me, you know. But I thought if he really wanted to do it, it might be nice. And he looked single for it. He was very, very good to go. He was going with a girl whose brother-in-law recruited him. That's how that happened.
So at this point, then your own plan was to go more and more into counseling.
Yeah, right.
From teaching into counseling.
Yes, right. As a matter of fact, at Luther and Burbank, I had, I think, just 1 hour. For a long time, I just taught two classes. And then for a long time, I just taught one.
Mm.
I just taught one class of math, and the rest of the periods I was counseling. And it was then that I was, after I moved into counseling, that I taught drafting, that I'd learned, you know, that I'd been taught the ESMWT class.
Well, how would you end up teaching in counseling?
Well, we couldn't have the whole time. See, they had to spring me from my classes, you know, they don't have teachers, since we had no counselors. They weren't able to give me full-time counseling until we got full-time counselers, which was happened later, not until 65. So that anybody with counseling or doing grade-level chairman or whatever had to teach some classes too, period, the day. See. So instead of math, our drafting teacher, we just had one. There was another guy who helped out, who taught some of the classes. But our main drafting teacher left to go to Burbank High School. So we were left with, and they were sprinkling the drafting classes among the shop teachers. And they ended up with a class, you know, with a period. And I was said to the group, you know, that I didn't see any reason why somebody who knew some math and, you know, had never done any drafting would have any trouble with that. So, you know, Helen, the girl's vice principal, said, oh, you really think so? And so we, being in, you know, I got to teach the drafting. I really wanted to. I thought it was fun.
What was the